Minnesota Vikings fans, welcome back to the Living in Loserville podcast, Purple People Eaters edition. I am your host, Chris Carlson. My co-host, Aaron Miller, will be joining us shortly. And we're here to discuss that beautiful Vikings victory, 39-10 over the Chargers. The defense dominated. Wow, 7 turnovers. You know, after a while, when the score's running up, it's like, well, you know, I love me some turnovers, don't get me wrong, but to relate it to another Minnesota squad, the Twins, it's kind of like when they're hitting a bunch of home runs or scoring a bunch of runs, you're like, hey, let's save it for the rest of the series, can we? And it kind of felt like, hey, can we save just maybe 2 of these turnovers and sacks and all that good stuff for next week against the Green Bay Packers that hated Packers. But anyway, like I said, we will start the show with recapping this dominant victory, 39-10. Vikings get it done on the road. Was it on the road, though? I don't really think so, man. It was a home field advantage. Kind of felt like a preseason game where there's not as many people there. But it was heavy, heavy Vikings in the stands. So we'll talk all about the win. A lot of positives. Some negatives, you know. There were some negatives in there. We missed an extra point. That's a negative. We had some injuries. Those are negatives. But there's a variety of things that we'll talk about from that dominant victory. And one of them is the defense. Back-to-back weeks now, the defense is showing life. They're looking a lot more like the Zimmer defense that we've come to know and love. It didn't look good early in that game. You know, there was a couple of drives you were like, oh, boy, this is going to be a shootout. But one of the questions we're going to ask is, you know, about the defense. Is it playoff ready? Are we starting to turn the corner? We'll find out. But like I said, we'll review this Chargers game. Then we got to look to next week and preview and predict this Green Bay Packers game. Like I said, you know, border rivalry, huge game for the division. I mean, the Vikes just need one more win, and we're in the playoffs no matter what. But it sure would be nice to beat the Packers, have them lose. Now, they almost lost. It was a very close game to the Bears last week, yesterday, right? But let's hope they can lose to Detroit if we were to beat them in general. But anyway, we'll definitely preview and predict that. Kind of go over some of that. That home field advantage will come in nicely, no doubt about it. But yeah, I can't wait to get into the show. We've had some really strange things go on when we've been trying to record. This technology tends to get in the way, but I think we are okay. But if this is your first time listening to the Living in Loserville podcast, it streams and archives on blogtalkradio.com/ropeadoperadio. Like I said, it streams live. It also archives, but you can find it anywhere. You don't just have to listen on Blog Talk. Apple Podcast is where you can find the Ropeadope Radio podcast, so you can listen to the Living in Loserville podcast. Player FM, Stitcher, Spreaker, really all across the board as far as podcast platforms, including the Grueling True Sports Podcast Network, which can be found on iHeartRadio as well, including both platforms, Spotify. In fact, you can use your Siri or Alexa through TuneIn or Spotify to find the show. While you're at it, why don't you head on over to thegruelingtruth.net. That's thegruelingtruth.net. They got a great sponsor over there, betnow.eu, with the promo code TGT. It's football, it's basketball, it's boxing, it's baseball, it's everything in between. And real quick, before we get this puppy started, before we get into this great recap of a great victory, okay, we don't know if it's going to be great recap, but it was a great victory. You know, some people are thinking about cutting the cord. This cable bill's getting obnoxiously, I mean, it's been obnoxious for a decade now, right? Or you cut the cable and you're thinking, man, I just want something, just a small package of channels, just the channels I want. Maybe you should take this a gander here. AT&T TV Now is streaming cable. They do have the 7-day free trial. However, the plans start as low as $50 a month. Right now, that's HBO included. You can stream it anywhere. It has the cloud DVR. and there's no annual contract. It's AT&T TV Now streaming cable, okay? In fact, they keep, like, every couple of months, you could tell they're improving the technology. Just on the cloud DVR, when you're fast-forwarding now, you can actually see the picture as well. Before, it was just the time. So you could be like, oh, two-minute commercial, okay, boom. Now you can see it just like a normal DVR. But anyway, let's get into this puppy, shall we? I'm going to go ahead and bring in my co-host, Aaron. What's going on, Aaron? How the hell are you, buddy?
Before I get started, can you hear me?
Oh, I was just about to say, I didn't even want to get all to, you know, to all this stuff. I just wanted to hear your mic. I should have done that right away. Yes, I can hear you loud and clear. And for those who are wondering why we're so excited about this, we had some technical issues as far as recording a couple times. Then my co-host Aaron over here, his mic, he couldn't hear me. Then he couldn't hear me through different speak. It was all, it's technology. What are we going to do?
A round of applause for your third intro of the night. I thought it was great, man. Just fantastic. So we've got, just as good as the last two. But, yeah, so seven turnovers, man. We had apple turnovers, cherry turnovers. We had turnovers all over the frickin' place. And you hit the nail on the head. You wish you could bottle that up and save that for the next couple weeks. But there's good and bad. I mean, we got 20 points off seven turnovers. That's not exactly great. And we'll get into that a little bit when we talk about the defense. But overall, it was a fun game to watch. Like you said, it was like a home game in California. And we had talked last week about maybe be a good place to go watch that game. Well, apparently we weren't the only ones with that idea because that place was full. I don't know if it was California people or people that traveled down, but if people traveled down there, it was a good idea because it's cold up here right now. But, yeah, man, let's get into it.
Yeah, and just the price for those tickets too, really inexpensive if you compare it to the other NFL product out there. But, it started out with a nice opening drive for the Vikes. We had randomly had two wide receiver runs. It kind of looked like they're trying to get to the edge and we had short passings, you know, and all that. There was a pass interference play that kind of, got us down there. I think it was on a third and sixth. And then the next play, Irv Smith Jr. had a nice catch in the end zone, just like a yard touchdown or something like that. But a 10 play drive lasted almost 6 minutes. Cousins was 6 or 6 on the drive. You thought like, okay, man, that's how you want to start the game. Now the Chargers' first drive kind of had like a nice little pass and catch to Mike Williams for a first down. That was a 3rd and 10. Then on a 3rd and 11, no pressure at all, a deep pass to Williams right on Hughes. And you're thinking, oh boy, this is going to be a shootout. This might be a shootout, but they did, you know, contain them to 6-3, to a field goal. I did forget to mention that missed an extra point. There's a negative. We missed an extra point to make it 6-3, so we found a negative right away. Got the ball back. You know, Vikes got the ball back. I'm speaking of Cousins to Diggs on a third down. Would have been a first down. Diggs kind of dropped the pass, although it was kind of a good play by the cornerback, too. He kind of got in there. I'm just a kind of a big believer in two hands on the ball. You got to bring that in. But I will say the cornerback kind of forced it, the punt as well, by making a good play. Then, speaking of forced fumbles. Hunter, fumble, you know, forced the fumble. Harrison recovers. Back-to-back, you know, runs on that play, and then the kind of the good coverage and the pass play on the third down, and it's 9-3. It just kind of, like you said, you know, we had all these turnovers, and you could tell once we started getting those going, and even as the game went on, they were kind of playing it conservatively on some of the calls. That's why I kind of broke down that back-to-back runs. And then, oh, by the way, we're going to pass on an obvious down. But, you know, there's tons of positives. We'll get to them. But there is something to be said. And Cousins and some other offensive players also reiterated, like, you know, we're going to go back and look at this and not look at the scoreboard. We're going to say, you know, what we're going to look at what we did as an offense and not getting the ball in great field position. So that was kind of a bummer. We knew they had a pretty solid defense, and we knew they were a lot healthier than they were early in the season. We know they played a lot of tight games, but that was one thing that kind of stood out. It's kind of like, man, we kicked a lot of field goals. It's nice to have work for the field goal kicker. Lord knows we need it, but two negatives right there. Too many field goals and a missed extra point.
Yeah, I mean, the first half was sort of, you know, a little bit tight, and you thought it was going to be a decent game. I don't know if I thought it was going to be a blowout, but I thought, you know, this is a tighter game than I thought. And then, the you know, Gordon starts the turnover parade, and it was like, well, okay, so he fumbles a couple times. And then, you know, and you start to think, okay, well, that's – you got to get some points off those. And I don't think we didn't get until the beginning of the second half when they ran one back that we got any points off those turnovers. And offense kind of bogged down. I think I echo Kirk's sentiments about looking at the film and going, well, you know, I got great field position and you can't score touchdowns. That's going to be a problem. I guess when you look at this game – you want to say to yourself, well, yeah, it turned out a certain way, but it so easily could have been a totally different game without those turnovers. A win is a win, is what the record says, but, you know, you want to play a little more sharp, I think, offensively. And I don't, you know, besides the turnovers and forcing them, the defense didn't play really well. The secondary had some issues, bigger receivers. There were, Hughes had a hard day. You know, it was, they could have played a lot better, and the result, you know, could have been a lot different. I think that you just, you know, thank God for those turnovers. Now, seven of them is a lot of turnovers. I don't remember ever seeing a game. You're obviously not going to win a game with seven turnovers on the Chargers side, but I don't want to look at this game as a mirage. But you don't want to look too deeply into how great the Vikings are after this win.
Yeah, or how great the score looks, 39-10. Obviously, they did some damage in the second half by shutting them down, and I think the stat was the first time in 24 years they were able to get to seven turnovers, defensively anyway. But, you know, even on like a third and seven, there was a first down catch, right? And then, you know, another third down play, that's why I'm bringing it up. But Jahlil Johnson got a sack, made it, you know, second and 19, but – two plays later, they got another first down. And then, you know, to cap off a 10-play, 75-yard, 6-minute drive, touchdown to Williams, and we're down 10-9. It's 8:42 left on the clock, and you're thinking, huh, okay, things are getting a little bit strange here. This is going to be a tight-ass game, and I did kind of feel like it would be a shootout. Then all of a sudden, like, all right, well, we're both putting points on the board. Let's see what happens. We started moving the ball again. That wasn't our problem offensively, moving the ball. We moved the ball, and that helped burn the clock. And I did think in the second half they got more conservative with that, and maybe that's part of it too. But Diggsy didn't quite manage to get that second foot down, which was a great play in general. Guy draped over him, but didn't quite get it down. So on a 10-play drive, 12-10, and all of a sudden there was a Harrison pick on well, not really a bad pass, but it was 3rd and 17. He kind of hung it up. And by the way, I'm getting a little background noise, echoes and whatnot. I'm not sure what's going on, but he kind of had to loop it up a little bit because he got hit by the defensive end. He couldn't quite stretch into it. So we got a pick, but then Cousins, you know, speaking of defensive end, it looked like Riley had him, and then he didn't, and he jumped up kind of like a couple years ago Griffin and intercepted the screen pass. They started moving the ball, and you're thinking, oh, boy, here we go. I hope they don't score here, because it did. It was kind of a tale of two halves for the defense as far as how they played on the field, like you said, taking away those turnovers. But then Hunter came through, stripped the ball, and Odenebo runs it. And you always like to see the big boys run it. And just, you know, really looking for an oxygen tank after that, because he tried to do the Lambo leap, and his legs are like, what? His lungs are like, huh? Get me to the sidelines. Get me some oxygen. But it's 19-10. Come right out. We got another strip. I think I want to say Hunter recovered it. I think Stefan made it this time. But then Cook went down with a shoulder injury. Ham got, like, tackled short on a first down. All these little plays kind of added up to a bunch of field goals, and it's 22-10. It's 25-10. And to me, it felt like they were still lingering in there, and we still had a little bit of, oh, man, this still could be a game. They had a 13-play drive. Lasted almost over 7 minutes, 62 yards, a turnover on downs, and then the offense put it together, scored back-to-back touchdowns because there was a fumble in there in general, then got an interception. I think there was a holding call. We got a bunch of calls late that kind of screwed that up, too. They only had two penalties for the whole game. But I did like how then, okay, now they gave us even better field position. Let's go in and score. So that was nice. Obviously, though, you know, missing Cook with a separate shoulder injury, but probably in the same, you know, ballpark anyway. We came in the game without Mattson, which was a tad bit of a surprise. Then we dropped Cook. Tell me what you think about Boone, though, the way he came in. He ran hard on both those touchdowns. He ran really hard. So let's talk about that and the positivities. We still got the offensive line. They were still opening up. He ran 13 carries, 56 yards. We did manage to get to a 137 overall and two touchdowns from Boone. So that's positive, right? But the negative is, man, are we going to have a healthy Cook and maybe even Mattson for these last two games and what we hope to be, knock on wood, the playoff run?
Well, yeah, you really need to have Cook and Mattson. But what I think we're emerging here is an interesting triplet of running backs. I mean, Boone was really great inside the tackles, which is something that Mattson is good at, but he's not as good as Boone at it. And then you got Cook on the edges. You could, you know, feasibly put them into different roles of running. Now, you don't want to be able to show the defense, well, you know, Boone's in, they're going inside in the tackles. So you got to mix it up a little bit. But I think Boone showed that he's got a gift, too, of running inside the tackles maybe a little better than Mattson and Cook have. So, you know, that was a good thing to see. And to see him get some run was nice, too, because you see him in the preseason a lot, and he makes great plays and good runs. And I think he had another good run in garbage time, perhaps.
Sure.
Earlier in the season, but I mean, he was in live play and got two touchdowns, some really nice runs really, really hard. And I was good to see him. So I think, you know, that bodes well for depth at running back. And I don't know who we got under Boone. I mean, I'm sure there's somebody there that can run the football, but having three is pretty good. And so, yeah, I mean, without Cook and Mattson going into Green Bay, if that is the case, I think they'll try to, you know, stitch up Cook any way they can to get him on the field. And Mattson, I don't know what his injury is exactly, but you got to have him back again. I mean, you need all hands on deck for Green Bay. This is going to be a big football game. And you hope that the running game is intact. If it comes down to just being Boone, I don't think that's a terrible thing. But, yeah, you'd like to have your full complement of running backs.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Is that a pen in your hand? Is that what I'm hearing in the background noise?
Yeah, you
clicking
caught me
on
there.
And off? That's okay. At least I know what it is. Perfect. All right, so, but you're right. I mean, it was nice to see him, but in the same breath, it is kind of like, ooh, like, you good, Cook? Now, you know, when that happened, they had a lead. They were playing good. The defense was definitely playing good by that time. And we got to give the defense credit on that. You know, in that second half. I mean, they really stepped all the way up. And this just in, Danielle Hunter is pretty damn good. This freaking guy is just everywhere. And he's just devouring people at this point. And, you know, the linebackers starting to make some plays. Obviously, Kendricks made a couple more plays as well. Like we said, the seven turnovers. We kept with the cornerback rotation. Now, Hughes did have a rough one, especially around the big wide receiver, and that might be – that's what sucks about Xavier not on his game right now because, you know, that's the guys that he can handle right now that's the guys he can handle his whole career are the big guys, especially when you get in the red zone. So that's like kind of, yeah, I think the biggest thing was just too many we didn't give a lot of big plays up, you know, down the field, but I did think that we gave up too many third and longs defensively. And as far as Kendricks, though, he is leading the league as far as pass breakups when it comes to a linebacker. So that's always a damn good place to be. I think it's 12, and no other linebacker in the NFL has that. So that's always a positive thing. But, you know, we'll talk maybe a little bit more about the offense, then we'll wrap this up. But the last 2 weeks, Aaron, are we starting to see this defense come into form and play better step by step here? Are we, because we know that's the missing piece right now, which is, you know, we've been saying it all year. It's pretty crazy that we're even saying that about our defense this year, but hey, that's what it is. Are we starting to come back into form? Because if you look at this Chargers offense, the line played pretty decent. It's not like we were sacking them every other play or nothing like that. They have the skill players. They got a really solid tight end in Henry. They're a lot healthier, like I mentioned, than even 6-8 weeks ago. Are we starting to see a playoff caliber defense that we're going to need down the stretch and, like I said, the playoffs?
Well, we're going to find out this coming week. I mean, dealing with Rodgers is always tough, and if there's a problem, he'll find it, and he'll pick it apart. So, you know, that's a great question because I want to say yes, but I'm really tentative because that game was sort of a weird game where it appeared that we were playing very well defensively, but I think if you break it down, there's a lot of trouble there. I still think the secondary has issues with depth and injuries and Rhodes. And, I mean, that's something that kind of gives me a little bit of pause going into next week. You know, Hughes has got struggles with bigger receivers and maybe just – so that's got to be technique a little bit because he's 5'10". He's not that small. And, you know, Waynes has kind of been left alone for a few years here because he makes great plays and then he makes bad plays and he makes plays where he could have done more and plays where he could have done less. And then you got a couple really young guys with Hill and Boyd, and throw Hughes in that mix that you don't know what you're going to get. I mean, they're going to play solid because they're Zimmer guys, but they're not, you know, they can easily be done. So I don't know exactly where we are secondary wise. It's a little bit weird going into playing Green Bay, and then linebackers were always solid. I mean, I don't really see a lot with that Barr and Kendricks do that you want to really criticize. I don't know enough about linebacker play to really get into that. I know when they get isolated, it's usually trouble, but, you know, I think they've done something to take that away. And the defensive line can be, you know, touch and go. You don't really know, besides Hunter, Linval, when he's clogging up the middle, the other pieces are also a little bit questionable. So are we a playoff defense? I mean, I guess we're going to have to be because it appears we're going to be a playoff team. It's can they step up, play their best football this time of the year? I don't know if we necessarily saw that, you know, take the turnovers out of this game and then talk about this game. I don't know if we're quite playing that well yet. And then, you know, you got to look a little bit offensively. Are we at top form right now? It's hard to tell in a game like that. So I think the next two games we're really going to see. I mean, you're going to see offensively what we can do against Chicago. That's going to be a huge sign. And I think defensively what we can do against Green Bay will be a huge sign of where we are on both sides of the ball, respectively, going into the playoffs.
Yeah, that's true. And two games isn't enough. It is easy to say, though, take away the turnovers when there's seven of them. That is part of a defense. Hopefully they can get back to that bend but don't break instead of just being broken. Offensively, though, I think they've proven that they can do their thing and at least move the ball, even if they are just settling for field goals. But, yeah, this is going to be interesting, this stretch run. In fact, the Vikings have won 7 of their last 9 games by 10 points or more, tied for the most in the NFL, and that's before – the end of this game. And Diggsy, you know, he's been a deep threat all year. 13 receptions of 30 yards or more. He does lead the league. And I'm getting a bunch of noise over there, just so you know. But we're sitting right here into the Vikings. You know, into the Vikings two-game season, right? And if we're looking at playoff spots, we do have to, at this point anyway, if we win next week, we're in. Now, I guess technically, you could make a case that, you know, it matters how the other side is, you know, the other teams are doing. I mean, the Rams got their butt kicked by the Cowboys. So things can happen to where, I guess technically, I don't want to lose both games, but I guess you could make a case that if they did, they could still get the sixth seed. But this is how it breaks down right now. Like I said, we're one win away as it is for a playoff spot, but they have a chance to move up from to the fifth spot if they win their final two games, of course, and the 49ers lose their final two contests. Okay, so that's kind of shaky. As far as the NFC North, though, we need the Packers. Well, we got to beat the Packers, obviously, and then they need to lose to the Lions. And that's kind of how that's situated. And obviously you want to win the division because the division gives you, I almost said home court, home field advantage in the first, the wild card round, basically. And hey, we know how well, you know, the Vikes play at home. Just kind of wrapping up some more stats. Cousins, first quarter touchdown to Smith. This comes from, Courtney Cronin, ESPN Stats Info. It put him at 25 touchdown passes, which I think ties him. Yeah, it says ties him for sixth in the league. But it's the first Vikings QB since Dante Culpepper, 2003 and 2004, with consecutive seasons of 25 passes or more. And knock on wood, if he finishes this year starting all 16 games. It'll be the first, this is crazy, dude. The first time since the 70s, I think it was 72, 73, with Fran Tarkington, where we had a Vikings quarterback play every game in back-to-back seasons. Now, by saying that, we all know I just jinxed it. I'm very sorry about that, guys, because, like I said, we all know that that's a Vikings thing, but, kind of interesting as we go down the stretch. I did like our third down efficiency, 7 of 14. That was big, but, we'll see where we stand, like you said, in the next 2 weeks. Anything else you want to talk about as far as it pertains to that, I guess you could call it road game, but it sure didn't feel like it in the Chargers' victory?
Well, feeling, man. I mean, he's back. A little bit. He got some run. I think he was on a pitch count, but he came in and made a couple catches, which was good to see. The mystery's over now, I think. He actually finished the game. He didn't go off again. So looks like he's back. Full complement offensive players now. A little bit more balance, I think. I think that probably helped a little bit against San Diego, just running him out there and let him know that the other side is kind of locked down now. I feel like that's probably a positive offensively going in. It's good to see him back again. And I feel like you want to have everything going your way going into Green Bay, man. And it's, Cook, Madison, Rhodes, and we don't know, Thielen's exact thing. And is it Cook's shoulder really shoulder? Is it the same shoulder? Did he re-aggravate it? What's going on with that? They're being pretty quiet about it. But, yeah, man, that's about it wrapping it up. It's good to see Thielen back and then got to deal with these injuries.
That's a good call, man. It's just something about getting your game legs back and just getting out there. You made a couple of nice catches, mostly in the slot. So, yeah, that's a good call. I'm glad that you brought that up because, as we know, that's a key piece, no doubt about it. And it will be interesting to see the way, Zimmer, the one-eyed bandit, the one-eyed Jack, the way he put it is kind of like, it just kind of hurt right then and there, and we had a little lead. Then it became more of a lead, and we decided to keep him out. Basically, he could have probably went, maybe, but I guess we could give him a bunch of painkillers, and he'd be able to get out there. But he said he is feeling all right today, so it's very vague. And it does kind of mess with me, Aaron, when they said he's trying to – first of all, he's got to hold the ball on the other side. Consistently, that kind of throws me off because, when you're running, you like to switch hands. But also, he's worried about, he's trying to, gauge his fall, like kind of like look and be like, well, I need a technique to like drop and roll when I know I'm going to hit my elbow, chest, shoulder area. All these things kind of line up to like, huh, I wonder just how effective Cook's going to be down the stretch, man.
Yeah, and you kind of, if it's come down to that, I mean, it's a big game against Green Bay, but, you know, you got, I wouldn't mind, if he doesn't play on Monday night, that's, I guess that's fine with me. If it takes that to get him fully healed, and that also is, you know, contingent on whether or not you've got Madison or not. I mean, if you're going straight Boone, I think you still, you know, give Cook the week to get better and go from there. I mean, he's such an important part of this offense that you don't want to mess with that at all if you're looking to make a playoff run. But so far, Zimmer's been kind of vague about it, like you said, and you don't know exactly what's going on with him. But if it's come down to where you got to learn a new technique to fall, a new technique to hold the ball, you know, it might be better to just sit him for a week and see with, you know, what else he got there. And it's a home game, you know, hopefully the defense can play well. We know what they do. They know what we do. It's not like we're going to fool them with much. So, you know, you don't have Cook. You come out and you play the best you can. Hope you still get a win. But let's hope he can go. But, you know, if it comes down to losing him for the rest of the season because you thought you needed to win a game against Green Bay, you know, that's not something I would support. I think if he needs to sit, sit him.
Yeah, it's a tough decision, man, no doubt about it. Mattson had an ankle issue, wasn't able to practice in any capacity last week. So you're looking at, let's say we have Boone and Abdullah. I mean, those are, you know, two NFL running backs that we could maybe, you know, maybe we'd have to pass a little bit to open up the run even more. But it comes down to the offensive line, too. You know, we were able to open up enough, you know, holes yesterday. So I think that plays into it, too. They're playing really good. We were able to run the hell out of the ball in the first time against the Packers. So we'll see. And, you know, I guess the only way we'll know is if it's really serious, and we probably won't see Cook the rest of the year, like some people are speculating out there, is if we, you know, all of a sudden, hey, Vikings got so-and-so off the waivers. You know, like, oh, we got another running back, even though we have two running backs that are capable of being Band-Aids with Boone and Abdullah. So I guess that could, you know, that would be more than a hint or a yellow flag. That's a red flag at that point. But right now the Packers heading into this game, they don't have anybody on their injury list, but – it's Monday when we do this stuff, so you just really don't know. Remember, Cook was questionable. So was Xavier Rhodes. He played a little bit. But heading into this one, you know, Vegas has the Vikings as a 4.5-point favorite. The over-under is 46. You know, the Packers are one of those teams that you look and go, man, the record's good. They got Rodgers. They got more of a running game than they have been, or than they have in the last chunk of years, especially with Rodgers. They have some pretty good wins. They snuck by Chicago 21-13, but I say snuck by, not any kind of rip there, because hey, if we can sneak by a point against them come you know, week 17, I'll be happy. They did beat Washington 20-15. They got their butt kicked probably about, what, 3 weeks ago against San Francisco, 37-8. Another time they got their butt kicked was San Diego, you know, back in the opening month when they were healthy. So they've played in some fairly competitive games. If you look at their defense, it's come back minorly than when it started. But, hey, it's not like, you know, our defense looks good these last 2 weeks now. And it's 18.5 points and all that, but we know we can still be exploited. But they give up a ton of pass too. We're looking at 262, right? But they give up 268 a game. So both of them are kind of susceptible to the run, to the pass. They're a little bit more to the run than us. It's a fairly even matchup right now. You know, our offense on paper is better than them, but like you said, Rodgers, do you ever want to really, you know, bet against them? Not too many times. Although, you know, we do usually have one game where the Vikes play. When I say we, if ever we say we, it means the Vikings. We're not fanboys, but that is how we talk from time to time. But yeah, that opening game, they came out like gangbusters. It was 21-0. You know, Rodgers looked good. They did get a bunch of rushing yards on us to a 233 carries, a 144. Jones alone had 116 of them. So obviously we're going to have to contain that run. Now you're going to give up some plays to a guy like Rodgers in that offense in general. I don't see this big score fest. Vegas saying, you know, under, what did I say, under 48, 46 to over under. So I don't see necessarily a 38-34 game. What are your thoughts kind of coming into this game? You hate to take too much out of the first game, but if you take it, well, you can't take away things. We just said take away the turnovers. If you take away that, coulda, woulda, shoulda, all this stuff. But after that 21 points, down 21-0, and what was that, like a quarter and a half, we started playing really clean. We made a hell of a run back. If it wasn't for Cousins' worst interception of his life, that's right, we're going back to Pop Warner. He didn't even throw that bad of a pick then. We could be talking a little bit different right now. You don't want to think too much of something that happened in September, but it's hard not to think of that because we've kind of been the hotter team. And I don't know, man. What are your thoughts here, with this Vikes-Pats matchup we got coming on Monday night in primetime too?
Man, that just threw me back to that pass and where we were after that, thinking like the sky was falling. Here we are at 10-4. So I don't know, man. It's a tough game to call. Like, you know, I hear you struggling a little bit with it because it could go any number of ways. I mean, it could go blowout Green Bay, blowout Vikings. It's all close game, tied, overtime. It could be a lot of things. Just depends on what's going on. I tend to think that it's going to be Green Bay's going to be able to score just because if we don't suit up everybody in the secondary, it could be interesting who they're going to pick on. Now, they don't have big receivers like we do, like other teams do, which can maybe, you know, utilize Hughes a little bit more. We're not going to surprise each other. I think they surprised us a little bit that first game coming up 21-0. They found a wrinkle and they exploited it, and then it got cleaned up, and it was a normal second half. But, you know, I don't think that's going to happen again. We're at home. You know, we got all the stats, a Cousins this, Cousins that. You know, it's going to be a TV full of first yeah. for Cousins or not first for Cousins or, oh, no, here we go again for Cousins. And it's going to be, you know, a general – it's got as much weight on it as a late-season Vikings-Packer game always has on it. It never really changes when it comes to that. I mean, thank God this one's at home and not at Lambeau. We went through that stretch of like 6 years where the game was in Lambeau and freezing cold every end of the season. Sometimes it mattered, sometimes it didn't. But I think
it always matters.
It always matters. Right? So if you take away the first 59 minutes of the game, I'm just joking.
Yeah, right. We look pretty
the last
good.
Minute.
We're a Super Bowl club at that point.
But it's a tough one to call, man. What I'm going to say is, you know how I feel about the officials in Wisconsin, and the AFC version of that is the Patriots. You know, I'm not saying that the referees are wearing green and gold, but, you know, it doesn't appear that
under their shirt.
That's not the case. So you got to figure you're going to have a little bit of that involved, and, you know, things are that we're susceptible to with officials is, you know, pass interference, and Rodgers is not afraid to just throw a ball up trying to get one. So I think there's going to be a lot of gamesmanship there. I mean, that's what these games are. We see them so often. We're so focused on each other that I really feel like it comes down to that a lot of the time. And, you know, if you win this game, you're tied up. I don't know exactly what, you know, well, the tiebreaker is not a thing because we'll tie for the season, but I don't know, you know, what – divisionally, if they have more division wins or whatever, I'm sure you can
fill
me in.
They got to lose the Lions.
Yeah, so it's not who needs it more. I just think whoever comes out and plays the best, as cliche as that is going to win this football game. And I really feel like I don't want to say this and I don't want to believe it, but I feel like the Packers will probably play a little bit better than us just because of who they have at the helm offensively. And he's probably the best of all time. I'm going to say he's probably in top three all time. And he's fun to watch unless you're playing him. So I don't know. I'm going to go cut this short and just go 34-21 Packers. I think we drop this game. And I hope that's not the case, but that's just kind of where I'm sitting right now. I just feel like the injuries we've got going in are pretty significant, and they seem to be injury-free. It's Monday night. It's home. You know, I've seen Kirk in some pretty tough situations in primetime games at home. Yeah, I know I'm not liking the feeling of it, so I'd like to be surprised with a Viking win, but I'm going to go 34-21 Pack.
You know, and as far as that 0-8 stuff, we know how that can be clickbait at times. Sometimes, you know, there's some real stuff to it. Obviously, you can't, if we can't look into the first game this year, and we can't look too far into last year too, because obviously our offensive line and our play structure in general was, you know, not a great fit, and the line wasn't that good. So I hate to jump into that too much, but it is hard not to think of that, you know, just bringing up that pick, you know, like I said, his worst pick of his career of football since he's six or whatever, that is a bad pick. But, you know, when you look at some of those stats, it wasn't, you know, his stats are really good in those 0-9 games. Now, you can say, oh, it was in garbage time. Yeah, you know, his defense gave up an average of 26 points a game, too, in those games. So it really is kind of back and forth. I'll tell you what, I was feeling pretty confident the way we've been playing compared to the way, and I say we, Vikings, to them, the Packers, right? I mean, that's kind of what I coming into this week, I thought, man, we're just playing better. And now we are due for a stinker. We almost had one with Seattle. It was real close if we didn't come back to that game. That could have been classified as the biggest stinker of the year. And of course the third quarter definitely was a stinker in general by far, maybe right up there with that first quarter, you know, with, against the Packers. But I'm going to be on the other side of this. When I start to look at this, I actually think Cook's going to play. And also Vegas still on the 4.5, knowing Cook may not play, or maybe they know he's going to play. And that's kind of what's lingering. I was thinking like 30-27, you know what I mean? Packers. It did kind of linger like, man, without Cook, dude, that is key. But I think if you look at the last 10 games, we're a better team than them, even with our lackadaisical defense at times. And their defense isn't great either. So I'm going to go on the other side of it. I'll switch it up a little bit. 31-27. How about that? 31-27. The Minnesota Vikings get the W. And, you know, we'll see. But, yeah, if we start signing, my pick's off if we sign a free agent. If we pick up a free agent tomorrow, watch it. Well, we'll hang up the show, and it'll be like, coming across the wire, the Vikings pick up two running backs. Like, oh, no. So hopefully I'm right. But I can understand the thought process here. Either way, I'm really on the fence on this. I honestly think that the whole Vegas thing still favoring us a little bit with Cook maybe out. I kind of feel like they know something about Cook that we don't quite know right now. So I'm going to be on the other side of it. Let's hope, though, that they get it done, because either way, you know, what happens in Week 17, just to secure that playoff spot definitely helps in general, and it gives you a chance. You want the home field, of course, but it gives you a chance. And also the home field, you know what I mean, the home field thing. We play damn good at home, so knock on wood, hopefully they get it done. Anything else you want to talk about Vikings-wise before we, linger and talk about some other stuff at the back end of this? Usually for the people that, you know, have been listening to this on a regular basis, this is where we talk Gopher football. I do have a Gopher football real quick, you know, news thing. The defensive line coach actually left to go to Rutgers because the coach who actually put Rutgers somewhat on the map came back, Schiano. So that's really not that big of a surprise, but it may be kind of weird with a defensive end recruit who now may go to Rutgers potentially, because the main recruiter was that guy. But anything else that you'd like to talk about before we kind of get out of here as we linger and talk about some stuff, sir?
Well, just maybe a caveat to my pick. You kind of got me thinking a little bit. If defense comes out and plays lights out, which they're capable of doing, I mean, they have their flashes, and if they flash and they're just, you know, tough and don't give anything up, which is a possibility, you know, that changes my whole outlook on the game. But I just don't see that. I mean, they've had games against Rodgers where they've really locked it down, and it's been a couple years, but it's happened. And that's always a possibility. You got the crowd at home. You know, it'll be pretty amped up crowd Monday night. You're looking at, you know, trying to tie up the division. It's a big game, and you know, the crowd will be hype, and so you'll think, you know, there's a possibility of it could just be really just a really kind of a blowout, 21-3 or something, Vikings, 28-3 Vikings. But I just don't really see that with the injuries and what's going on. But that's definitely a possibility, so let's get the defense going. And if they can get, you know, come out strong and maybe get a 14-point lead, 14-0, defense is holding it, I feel like that's a whole different ballgame, but I just have a hard time seeing it go that way.
And speaking of former fights here, Adrian Peterson, he has tied Walter Payton's Sweetness for the fourth most rushing touchdowns in NFL history, 110. So that's pretty cool. We're basically going to end the show to kind of talk random hoops stuff for a second. Not going to be long. We kind of want to let you know, once we're on the other side of the Viking season, for those who listened last year, they know what we do, but we do turn the Living and Loser for a podcast turns into basketball once the Viking season is all the way done. And we hope that's in February. Okay, so we do have a Timberwolves and Gophers basketball Living and Loserville edition. So we're just kind of letting that out, you know. We're just kind of putting that out there just to let everybody know. But what better way to start with Ohio State? I mean, Ohio State last night, now given they were missing a decently sized key piece in there. They got a couple of key pieces. If that dude wasn't there, oh, well, I'm not crying. They came into the game, though, averaging scores of 81-55 domination. They beat Villanova. They beat North Kakalaka, North Carolina, and they beat Penn State, too, by 25 points, or 32 points. So that was a nice little W last night for our Minnesota Gopher basketball. See, like, we're still in football in my mind. Considering the way they had that Iowa game, if you look at the backcourt in the Iowa game and this game, it's like, completely different, you know. I mean, it was like 1 of 20 in the backcourt against Iowa. So that was huge, man. That was a big, big win. Number 3 in the country. I think there's only 4 unbeatens. Now there's only 3 unbeatens. So that brings the Gophers to 5-5, 1-1 in conference. You know, we were talking off air, you know, through 10 games in the Big Ten, if they can get to 5-5, that would be good. That would be really good. So they're 1-1. So if they go 4-4 over those 8 games, that would be key. And the reason why I say that, they have Oklahoma State coming up. Got to have that at home. And I think that's on Saturday. Then they got a, you know, a win in my book. No problem. But then here's how it starts. Okay. So at Purdue, we know that's always tough. Northwestern at home, we should be able to beat, but sometimes Northwestern puts out a pretty good club. They got a pretty decent star player right now, but then it gets treacherous, dude. Then it gets real treacherous. And Penn State is playing good this year, by the way. So then we're at Michigan State, at Michigan. And we've already played Ohio State and Iowa. Then a ranked Penn State team, then you go, okay, cool. And I used to be like, oh, Penn State and Rutgers, we can get those wins, but now that's a ranked Penn State, and they're better than they were last year, and we had a little problems with last year. Okay, at Rutgers. Okay, cool. At Ohio State and Michigan State again, it's like, golly, we got to play Ohio State and Michigan State all in the, like, you know, in our college ball show, we do this every time with Minnesota. The first 6 to 8 games are just treacherous. So, you know, this is a team that's like putting in like 6 new pieces. Some of them have been here. Some of them were transfers, so they know the system. Some of them are freshmen. So it's a young club. So far, they're looking okay. You know, I hope that they can keep developing and down the stretch they can turn it on and try to make a tourney run. But if you look at it, our transfer, our senior transfer, our graduate transfer, who we'll see if he fits into the Big Ten. But beyond him, we got everybody coming back that plays this year and 2 top 100 players coming in next year. So things are looking up, but this is kind of the big reason why I wanted Amir Coffey to come back, because we're trying to define roles. And Arturo is playing great basketball right now, even more dominant than I thought it'd be. He gets a little too more dominant, he's going to go pro, so let's calm down on that. But we kind of needed Coffey in one or two of these games to be, say, 7-3, to say, guess what, guys, I'm taking over, I'll score 10 straight points. To have Murphy and Coffey gone, we knew Murphy was going to be gone, but that's kind of killing us early. But I see something brewing here, man. What are your thoughts so far? And also, Timberwolves started out really well, and now they've lost 6 in a row. It's going to be kind of that type of year, too. They're only like a game out of the West, though, for the playoffs. So they just got to tighten up the whole package, I guess you could say.
Man, what do I say? That was a great little Gopher basketball intro. I don't have much to say about it that you haven't already said, except for I'm just kind of familiarizing myself with the new players. And you're right. It's all about looking for roles and who's going to fit. And it's, you know, it's a young team with a really tough schedule. The non-conference was tough. And now we're looking at the beginning of this Big Ten schedule that you pointed out is pretty tough as well. And, you know, you want to win your share and get going. And you can either look at last night's game as a big win, and it was, but is that going to continue? Is that a confidence builder and they're going to continue to progress from there? Or was that a flash? You said Ohio State was missing a guy, one of their important parts. You don't want to, you know, take anything away from that Golden Gopher team. Maybe they are progressing. Maybe they are getting ready, amping up. I mean, that beatdown in Iowa wasn't great, but maybe that was a welcome to the Big Ten moment for some of those kids. So, you know, maybe they got a better understanding now of the physicality of the Big Ten and how you have to play. And they certainly came out and played well against Ohio State. So, like you said, going that Purdue and Northwestern games, you know, amp it up, get physical, start to go. Because when you go to Michigan State, those are tough kids, and they'll beat the crap out of you if you're not tough. So we've had some tough teams that they still got the crap beat out of them at Michigan State. And then you go up to Michigan, and you got the same type of deal, maybe a little more finesse, but not that much. I mean, it's just really rugged Big Ten basketball, and these kids need to be prepared for it. Now, our size, like you said, is we've got Oturu and then Alihan Demir. You know, they need to bulk up a little bit. Oturu's got a lot of nice things to his game, but he needs to get a little bit tougher. Same with Demir. He needs to understand exactly what's going to be coming at him, and he's not going to know that until it happens. So just kind of piggybacking off of what you had to say about intro and the Big Ten season there, I thought you did a good job of it. And it'll be interesting to see. I think if you can just get in the tourney this year, I think that's a success. I'd hate to fall short, but I could understand why.
Yeah, I hear that. That point guard, though, transfer point guard, man, he's something special. I think he's going to be a damn good player. I did forget to mention Gophers football, safety-wise, Antonio Winfield Jr. has earned All-American status. It's the first he's been named to the Walter Camp team, basically, the first player since Greg Esslinger. I think he was a center. Maybe he was a tackle. I think he was a center. And it's the first of any kind of, you know, outlet, whether it's Sporting News or, you know, whatever kind of award, since Max Williams, the tight end, and also Bateman got All-American as well. So that's it's always nice to get the All-Americans for the football. That's a surprise. Not a surprise this year, but it's something that barely happens for us Gopher fans, you know?
And let's talk about the Wolves a little bit. I know you touched on it a little bit. Man, we're just back to that. So frustrating, like you said, losing six in a row, and it's just back to finishing games again. And that seems to have been, you know, pre-Butler, could finish a little bit with Butler, kind of went through last season, and just, you know, you got a lead in the third quarter, and then that fourth quarter just kind of dwindles away, you know, 2 points at a time, and next thing you know, you're down by six, and you got no chance to win, and that just appears to be happening again, and losing to teams like Phoenix, and, you know, things have gotten a lot better, but it's not showing on the record, and that's always been the case with the Timberwolves, except for, you know, maybe out of the 20 years or so, 30 years they've been going, maybe 3 or 4 years where that wasn't the case. And, you know, you hate to sound like a broken record with this team, and I think that's kind of why you shied away from a little analysis, but it just seems to be that same thing over again. Got great players, got a nice mix this year. Got to finish games. I mean, you got to find a way to do it. If you got to get into towns and just work towns for the whole fourth quarter, do something. But you got to find a way to finish those games off. And if not, you're going to have another really disappointing season. And I don't think that's something you really can afford at this point in the franchise.
Yeah, I like some of their bench. Layman, you know, not having him has hurt a little bit. I forgot to mention, but the Gopher bench, it's just right now it's bad. And I think we're going to have to bring in somebody in the starting lineup who's just a role player, junkyard dog, whatever, that doesn't need shots so we can bring some offense off the bench. And big shots out for turning around his game and looking a lot closer to his third year, actually looking better than his third year. Andrew Wiggins, like, this dude is a different player on the court. Just everything, loose balls, rebounds, tipping stuff. He's almost up to 2 blocks a game. Like, he's just doing a lot of good stuff. And, you know, maybe these last 2 years with the Butler match, where it obviously didn't match with him, just a variety of things, maybe all this stuff is catching up to him, and the fact that, you know, KG sat him down and was like, no, dude, when's your chance? Remember that? When KG's like, so when you go in the playoffs, dude, what's up with you? That was pretty funny. But his assists are up, his rebounds are up, or I'm sorry, a block a game. A block a game, but he's just going out there and he's not shooting. We've seen this before, like in the first 10 or 15 games. Oh, the three's there, or for 10 or 15 games, let's say, throughout the season at any time, the three's hot. So then his points go up a little bit because his three's hot. His three's right on his average. So it's not the three-pointer. He's taking better shots. He's going to the rack. And obviously the system fits him much better than the last year's, and especially full on the year before when we had Wiggins sitting out on the wing. And it's like, why'd you send him to, you know, sign him to an extension if you're just going to put him out on the wing? That Butler and Wiggins, as far as them two on the court, clearly Butler did his thing, but Wiggins was just left out, discouraged, whatever it may be. But, you know, maybe it's that early benching he got. He's been benched twice this year early in the season, so maybe that was part of it. But just the energy on the court, it's like night and day with him right now, and it's always just been consistency. It's not, we know he's got the talent, but can he show up when he's not playing Harden, when he's not playing Cleveland because he's mad, when he's not playing Toronto, when he's not playing LeBron, you know? Can you show up, like you said, in Phoenix as a team, not just Wiggins, but as a team too? I mean, you can't be losing games like that. Can we beat Memphis ever? I mean, what's Memphis got on us, dude? They must have pitchers or something that could take the whole franchise down. I don't know what it is. But anyway,
grit.
It is. That's probably what it is. Any last words before we sign out there, sir?
No, just a quick thing on Wiggins. You know, he's a max player. We got two of them, man. And it goes back to my point earlier about finishing games. I mean, we pay these guys. Somebody's got to step up and be that guy. We don't have that guy. You think it's Towns? Well, Towns is great for three quarters, but then disappears. And where's Wiggins? Yeah, he's playing a lot better, but we need one of those two, if and possibly both of those two, to rise up and fulfill their potential and learn how to finish games. Be the guy. Someone's got to be the guy. And, you know, you say we lose to Memphis a lot. It's grit, man, and I don't think Wiggins has the grit, and I don't want to dump on him because he's playing a lot better, but somebody's got to have the competitiveness to start making these games matter for them, because, you know, rolling through for three quarters and getting a 10-point lead and then losing it is not grit, man. It's nothing. It's absolutely nothing. You got to get W's. So someone's got to step up, be the guy in the fourth quarter that can get you the win. And that's, you know, where we're going to start this season with Timberwolves shows. And we're going to continue to talk about that until that changes. And it hasn't changed, and it needs to.
All right. We'll be back next week. Next week, though, is good old Christmas. So we won't be back in our normal time. We're trying to tweak something. We may go Thursday. We may go a different day. We'll figure it out. You'll see us back, though. Not too many people listen to podcasts over that Christmas anyway, until it gets to more Christmas Day night and the traveling's over and whatnot, the family's left. So anyway, we'll be back. Let's help those Vikings, those Minnesota Vikings, beat those hated Green Bay Packers. We're out. We'll see you next week. Peace.